Hello, and welcome to Right Now with Ralph Martin, a podcast where author, speaker, and worldwide renewal leader, Dr. Ralph Martin, shares what the Holy Spirit is stirring up in the church right now. Words of encouragement from the Lord to strengthen you for such a time as this. We are glad you can be with us this week as we seek to encourage you for this moment in history. And now, your host, Ralph Martin.
We have a special guest today, Lavinia Spiritu from Lexington, Kentucky. Lavinia is a wife, a mother, a Catholic laywoman. She's a lawyer, and she saw a need in her parish and her diocese and started to meet it by developing a Catholic Bible study, which we'll talk about in a little bit. Lavinia, welcome.
Thank you.
Hey, let's start at the beginning, though. Just tell us your story. You know, how'd you become such a committed Catholic laywoman?
Well, you know, I kind of did it in spite of my own background. I grew up in Italy. I grew up in Rome, right in the lap of the Vatican, as you might say. And I was exposed to a lot of stuff early on that I wasn't too edified by. Mm-hmm. But I managed to meet a group of people when I was quite young. I was around 16, 17, who actually seemed to really like praying. And they really were engaged in their faith. And I was very surprised that people would want to do that. And I was very drawn by it because to them, God seemed to be a real person. You know, Jesus really seemed to be somebody they wanted to engage. So to make a very long story short, I really had a moment of personal commitment to God when I was 17. And I say a moment because it's a moment that continues throughout my life. You know, it's a moment that I've had to repeat every day. Of recommitting myself, but it really a moment that opened my eyes to what was out there mm-hmm. in terms of the spirit. And so mm-hmm. I, you know, at 17, what do you know? What do I know? I'm like, well, yeah, okay, I'll come after you. What does that mean? At 17, going after the Lord means something different than what it does later on. You know, I always say you have a lot less to lose when you're 17. Yeah. You know, you're giving, I'm going to give everything up to follow you. Well, yeah, what are you going to give up? You're only 17, you know? So I gave up such as I could when I was 17. And, but it really opened the door for me to continue resubmitting things to God.
Where were you when you're 17? And then what happened after that?
Well, you know, when I was 17, I was, in a track, I was going to go to college in Italy where I, you know, grew up, and I was just going to stay in Italy and I was going to have a life in Italy. I was exposed through, you know, the group of people that I had talked to about living a deeper life in the spirit that, I had other opportunities. I had other vistas. I actually had somebody say, why don't you come to the United States and go to college? And I had never thought about that. And so I did. I came to the United States. I was actually able to be associated with a group of people who, were living their faith in a very strong way. And that's how I got over to the United States. I went to college and then I ended up going to law school mm-hmm. and I ended up...
Your mother is American and your father's mm-hmm. Italian.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And my father's family was very connected to the Vatican for mm-hmm. many years. I mean, mm-hmm. going way back. So there was a time in our lives when we had personal audiences, you know, certain families in Rome had, you know, personal mm-hmm. audiences with the Pope, you know, that kind mm-hmm. of thing.
Sure.
That's been done away with. Mm-hmm. But so we kind of felt like we owned, you know, we kind of felt like, well, we know what this is.
Yeah.
But none of us was really converted.
Yeah.
And it took a personal encounter really to experience that conversion. Yeah.
So after college, you went to law school and then what?
And then I was going to make my great escape and move back to Italy. And I met my husband, Michael, and we were married and I had, you know, I finished law school, took the bar, had a law practice, mm-hmm. had couple girls.
Mm-hmm.
And as the girls were getting older, I remember thinking that I wasn't getting fed at Mass. I wasn't getting fed at my parish. And mm-hmm. I was thinking, is this all there is? You know, maybe I should go one of those places where they sing better. You know, I mean, it was a temptation.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember very, very strongly hearing this interior sense from the Lord saying, you can't go anywhere till you've tried to contribute. You know, you've tried to.
Yeah, I think a lot of people have that experience. They say, I'm not getting anything out of here. What should I do? Where should I go?
Uh-huh.
And some go to Protestant churches, some go to other parishes, some stop going.
Uh-huh, exactly.
But the Lord was kind of telling you should try to make a contribution to make this a better place.
He was holding my feet to the fire, basically. It was not very pleasant. You know, it was like, grow up. You know, you can't complain if you haven't done something. Try at least to do something about
it. Yeah. So what'd you try?
Well, we were a group of us were involved in a non-denominational Bible study, you know, in our city. And it was really a wonderful experience because it really got us into the Word, especially as Catholics. We didn't really have a whole tradition of going into the Word. And this non-denominational Bible study really opened our eyes. And so we went and we saw almost immediately the need for a Catholic Bible study or a Bible study that would maybe address our sacramental tradition a bit, you know, more intensely. And so a group of us decided, we're praying for a while saying, you know, well, we should do this, you know, we should have a Bible study of our own. So then it's like, well, who's going to teach, you know, and who's going to organize and who's going to come? What if nobody comes? You know, that's always a consideration. What if you have something and nobody comes? And so we figured that we would step out in faith. We felt the Lord leading us quite strongly. And so we did. We opened our, you know, we got permission from our parish. We tried to go through channels because, you know, we thought that was the way of order. And we opened our Bible study, and right off the bat, 50 people showed up.
Wow.
And we were like, where are they? Where did people come from? And so I ended up teaching, which, you know, was a lot of moxie on my part, I think, because I was going on the fact that I'd had this lifelong call to Scripture. And also I felt that I could stand up in front of a group of people and actually kind of convey not only the Scriptures, but the personal application for the Scriptures. You know, this is important because this is going to affect your life.
Probably being a lawyer, you know, was an expression of you having gifts that you could get up in front of people and talk.
Although,
and
I have to tell you, I was kind of scared about that because I was afraid I'd be boring. You know, I mean, as a lawyer, I think I was boring. You know, like standing up in front of a jury. I did that. I stood up in front of juries and I just feel like I wasn't connecting. And I was like, maybe I shouldn't do this. You know, maybe it should be a case of somebody else should step up and have the gifts. But nobody did. So, and we've grown and.
Yeah. And you've actually kind of put together some of these Bible studies in a format that other people who don't live in Lexington or in some of the other parishes and dioceses where this is being done can benefit from. So this is Genesis and this is Luke and you have others as well.
Yes.
And you have a website. Is that right?
Do. Yes.
What's
we
your
do.
Website address?
CWBS.org.
CWBS.org.
It sounds cryptic, but it's Catholic Way Bible Study. Okay. We found that, there were people who were attracted to our Bible study, people who wanted to come. We only had it in the morning, and it was only a women's Bible study to start with. And then we had these men kept coming in and sitting in the back and kind of sneaking out, you know. And then more of them would come in. And so then finally I'm saying, well, you know, let's just open it up to everybody and have a night class too. Except I couldn't teach the night class as well. So we started taping the morning lecture, and then we ran it at night. And then people came to us and said, we want this. How can we have it? So that's how we got the idea to put it together in a DVD form or in a CD form so that people would have the whole thing. We followed a model that was already in place, which was quite highly effective. And so we really didn't feel the need to reinvent the wheel. And that would be a class format in which we broke down in discussion groups and then we attended a lecture. And there's homework involved, daily homework. And so we have leaders leading each group. You know, we try to have a group of 15 so to deal with attrition because our study goes for 9 months. It's about 24 lessons because we try to cover, you know, that arc. That's something that people, most people are comfortable with. You know, we break at Christmas. We break for the summer. We don't, you know, pick on people at times when they're busy, but we do try to maintain and provide this constant forum where to come back in and to, you know, practice discipleship and deepen our faith. And so the leaders come together and God has given us over the years some amazing people who have come alongside us. Now we have men who are leaders, discussion group leaders as well. And we meet a separate day as well, an extra day to ourselves kind of tighten up and pray together and go over the lesson and go over any business details so that we provide the most hospitable place for the people who come into the Bible study on Thursday mornings. It's iron sharpening iron. It's the groups together, hanging out, calling each other to accountability, calling each other to vulnerability. It's so easy to put up all these fronts, you know, all these defense mechanisms. So there's a lot of exciting things happening, even just in the leadership group.
What kind of changes would you see in women who come to the Bible study? Like, where are they coming from and where do they get at the end of the Bible study?
Oh, you know, that's really one of the most exciting parts of what we've been doing because we have people who come in and they have to go out and buy a Bible. And or a catechism. And then we have other people from the other spectrum who have advanced degrees in theology or history or, you know, philosophy or something like that. And my challenge, I think, has been, and I feel like the Lord is making this challenge. It's just not me saying, well, I'm going to hold both of you all in tension. Basically, is to keep everybody coming back. Because it's not so much about the depth of the intellectual study. It's what studying the Word of God can do for you, each person. So it doesn't really matter how much you know or how much you don't know.
There's always more. Yeah.
There's always more.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, even the professional who studies theology for a living or teaches or is a catechist or whatever needs to sit down and figure out, hey, what's this saying to me now?
You know, who said that the Word of God is such that a mouse can wade in it without drowning,
Saint
or
Augustine.
An elephant can swim in it, you know, and not plumb
it's
the
a
depths?
River.
Yeah, that is like the Word of God is yeah. available for the simple, the wise. This mm-hmm. just
is there.
Yeah.
You were asking about the effects. The effects of the Bible study are people are getting converted. People are having regular prayer times. People are going to adoration. People's families are getting converted because we have that ripple effect. You know, the one person attends the Bible study and then comes home and says, did you know? And all of a sudden the family's saying, how do you know all this stuff?
So this isn't just an academic study, but people are applying it to their mm-hmm. life and they're seeing changes in their life. And you know,
absolutely.
They themselves are becoming missionaries or evangelists or, you know, as they go out.
As a result of the study, we have people who are now on committees in our parish, our diocesan-wide committees are, you know, basically commissioned to go out and do a whole bunch of stuff that before they never would have done.
It's sort of awaken them as alive Catholics who are striving after holiness and striving to make a contribution and mission. Yeah.
And we have several priests who are very supportive of us. And so we feel really blessed, mm-hmm. you know, because we feel like here is a medium. It's like a catalyst. People don't even have to come. They have to just come in contact with some of the people who have been. You know, we've had actually people stand up. We have a share day at the end of each year where people get to stand up and pass the microphone. And we have these dear ladies standing there, their legs are shaking and they don't want to talk in front of people. And yet they're talking and they're saying, I have to stand up because I have to tell you what this has meant to us.
Isn't that wonderful? Yeah. Yeah. It's really great. Well, you know, Bible study is really something that the Holy Spirit is drawing to the attention of the Catholic Church. The Second Vatican Council talked about to be ignorant of the scriptures, to be ignorant of Christ, quoting St. Jerome. And Benedict XVI said that if we would just really open ourselves to the Word of God and prayerful reading, we'd really see the new springtime come out. So what you're doing is very much in line with what the Holy Spirit is leading the whole Catholic Church to focus on. What would you say to the average Catholic watching today who's just never been able to open the Bible and figure out what's going on mm-hmm. or how to begin?
Well, you know, what I would say to them is you're never going to know unless you try. And people ask me, what Bible should I get? And the answer to that is you get whatever Bible is that you're going to read. In the end, it could be as easy as opening it up and, oh, it's this large type. I can read it. I really like this, you know, or oh, I love these commentaries or I love the maps or whatever. In the end, the Word of God is living and active and he's going to get you at all levels if you just give him a chance. Mm-hmm. You know, I kind of liken studying the Bible to throwing a hand grenade in a crowd and then stepping back because, you know, it doesn't depend upon us. We're just facilitating the arrival of the Word of God. Mm-hmm. You know, so I would tell the person out there, open up the scriptures, find a Bible study group if you want to. I think that's probably easier, especially for first-time people, mm-hmm. to get in groups. That's why we provide this group format, because you might think as you sit down with this group that you don't have nothing in common with these people. And by the end of the 9 months, you're fast friends.
Maybe they could call the parish office and say, hey, is there a Bible study going on in the parish, you know, that you can connect me with? Because, I mean, they vary in quality, but there are a number of good Bible study groups. And, you know, and how could they make use of this?
And what I want to say to you all out there first is this. You don't have to use this. I mean, I think this is a great way to do it. But there are, you're right,
individual use that?
Yes.
Even if they weren't in a group?
Yes, we say it's both for individual and for group study.
Okay.
We provide both the DVD Bible study, so that means you just plug it in, there's the lecture, everything's ready, or the CD. Mm-hmm. So you can use it as an individual, you can use it as a group in a home, a small group, you can use it as a large parish-based study. Mm-hmm. We've tried to make it as user-friendly as possible.
The CD they could listen to in their car?
They can listen to their car. I do it all the time. Mm-hmm. I've got other people who tell me that too. And it's kind of nice to have something like that in the car. We also provide, with the DVD Bible study package, we also provide some CD, some data CDs, so that if you want to print out the homework questions, You know, for 200 or for 10, you can do this. Mm-hmm. If you want to, we provide vocabulary words, like each lecture might contain some words that people don't, are not comfortable with. So we put them out on, or we provide maps, or we provide, for example, when we did the books of Moses, we showed them how the camp looked in the desert. You know, we drew a little diagram and here are the tents and this is what it looks like, because a lot of people read, you know, the books of Moses and it's like, what? I've always tried to be very visual as well. Because people, you know, you can bore people very easily and their attention spans is kind of not, you know, it's kind of hard. And so we provide maps, we provide pictures, we provide words. There's stuff going on during a lecture at all levels.
Is there a particular book of the Bible that you'd recommend somebody start with who just has never really read the Bible?
You know, I would definitely start with one of the Gospels.
The New Testament.
Yeah. You know, absolutely. And maybe I would start with Luke. I guess because I love Luke. The Gospels provide the whole impetus as to why you should be reading the scriptures to begin with. I think if you read a Gospel and then you could go and start one of the books of the Old Testament. If you're starting as a group, I would recommend start with Genesis. If you're starting in as an individual, I would say start with the Gospel and then go to Genesis because your time is more your own and you don't have to. But as a group, we recommend you start from the beginning, Genesis, and then maybe go to the books of Moses and then maybe go to a Gospel. Mm-hmm.
Is there a particular translation that you'd recommend or a number of translations?
Well, you know,
What do you use?
I use several. Mm-hmm. You know, it just depends. I like the Catholic RSV. Mm-hmm. I like it. I'm not crazy about the New American Bible, although that's what's out there. And a lot of people, that's what their translation is. I think the Jerusalem Bible has its purposes. Mm-hmm. The Douay Rheims is a good translation as well. I mean, really, in the end, it's kind of what I like to compare them, you know, and to kind of line them up together. But I would say either the Catholic RSV or the NAB would be what people can go out there and do. I like the Ignatius Study Bible.
Yeah, but sometimes people have older Bibles hanging around their house and somewhat archaic translations and a lot of these and thous, and it's just hard for them to feel the freshness, you know, of the language. So it's amazing how much is revealed. I mean, really, I'm still astounded. Also, how much practical advice is in the scripture about how to respond, how to live the Christian life, how to handle anger, how to handle temptation.
It's all there.
All that kind of stuff. Lavinia, thank you so much for being with us today. And thank you for stepping out and seeing a need and trying to respond to it and all the good fruit that's coming. And
thanks for having me.
God bless you. Okay. Until next week, this is Ralph Martin and Lavinia Spiritu wishing you the very best, a life open to God's word, led by his spirit.
This podcast is brought to you by Renewal Ministries, part of the Renewal Podcast Network. If you are enjoying this podcast, we invite you to help us spread the word by leaving us a rating or review, following or subscribing to this podcast, or sharing on social media. Until next time, this is Right Now with Ralph Martin.